already done through the blood of Jesus Christ in this new covenant. Father, we thank You for this church, this group of people, Your pastors that You have placed over these people. Father, we thank You for this wonderful church. Father, we thank You that they're living in the greatest days of their lives right now. Hallelujah. Father, help us to get the big picture. Father, tonight we need the help of the Holy Spirit to teach. We need the Spirit of God to help us hear. And Father, we are going to be very careful to give You all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm just going to reiterate just a couple things. I'm going to drop down to verse 8. It says, "But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath," remember we talked about that this morning, the oath, "which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Now what's interesting here is because of this covenant that God had with Abraham, even when Israel forgot God, God never forgot Israel. It's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, I'd give up on people. I just have to be honest with you. I think I pastored this group that came out of Egypt at one time. I mean, first time something happened, they just turned on the messenger. Just hold your hand there. Let me just go. I'm on my first rabbit trail and I'm not even warmed up yet. But let me just read this to you. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. You can write it down and check and see if I read it correctly later. It says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed. Where's my Rhema students? Rhema students know how to sigh. Where's my Rhema students? I put you through the sighing, didn't I? Thank you. I hear that sigh. Okay, let's see if we can sigh together. How many know how to sigh? This is pretty good. I know. Sighs and wonders. Israel sighed. Good, good, good. By reason of the bondage, and they cried." This is a great church. All right? No. "And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning." I love it. "God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." And you see, right after that, He found Moses. Isn't that something? Israel didn't deserve God. They forgot God to the place that Moses didn't even know what God's name was. They'd forgotten. But when they cried out, there's God. Isn't that interesting? But see, they didn't even know they had a covenant in place. They didn't even know they had a covenant in place. That's why they're groaning and sighing and crying, because they didn't know there was a covenant in place. Now, you get around Christians today that all they do is sigh and cry and groan. It's usually because they don't know that there's a covenant in place. I've heard about that. I know it wouldn't be this church, but I've heard people do that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me go back there. See, just because of this covenant, God swore to a man one day. He says, remember, if you have two people in a covenant, they speak things back and forth to one another. Okay? In a covenant relationship, two people become one person. Marriage is like that. But God, that's the way God is in covenants, is that they become one. And there's an exchange of gifts. They speak things to one another. All right? And this is so good, because if you don't understand about covenants and how God looks at the new covenant that we're in today, there's going to be whole portions of Scripture you just don't understand. Actually, it'll be as if God is out of character, and you think, what is wrong with God? I'm going to teach tonight, and I'm sure you've heard these before. I'm going to maybe, you know, water the seed a little bit. But I'm going to look at some portions of Scripture tonight and show you, first of all, under the Old Covenant, again, some things. And then I'm going to take you on over into how to release, and this is something I know you teach all the time, But I'm going to show you how that this power of this covenant can be released all the time. You could just rest and have the joy and peace of the Lord just by knowing some things. All right? Well, let me give you an example. One day, God says to His covenant man, Abram, of course, that's what his name was there, Abraham, I want you to go and take your son, and I want you to go and sacrifice him unto me. How many have ever seen that in Scripture? How many have ever wondered about that in the Scripture? You kind of go, is God having a bad day here? Is he a little confused here? I mean, you know, let's talk about other stuff. But here, God is placing asking Abraham to do something. He's asking for obedience. If I were to take you there, and I guess we could go there, over in Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to refer to some things. It's too long of a thing to read everything. But in Deuteronomy chapter 22, and it's, excuse me, Genesis 22. Well, if you're in the Spirit, you know what I meant. If I was in the Spirit, I'd have said it right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Abraham was quite a character. That's all he said throughout the whole thing. Here I am. You don't see Abraham arguing. You don't hear him crying, groaning. You don't see that. And you kind of go, speak up, Abraham. Argue a little bit. I mean, this is your son. I mean, I can hear Isaac in the background. Dad, say something. All right? And he says, just go offer. Told him where to offer up his son. And of course, all of a sudden, Isaac's looking around. You know, okay, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said what? God shall provide himself a what? A what? Say it out loud. God will give a what? He'll provide himself a lamb. Now, in studying covenants for a number of years now, when I saw what I'm about to teach you, now you got to pay attention here, because if you miss this, you're going to miss big parts. All right? You're just going to miss some things in life. Because I believe that Abraham understood what a covenant meant. I'm going to prove it to you. He understood this. You have to understand, and I have to understand, as we read the New Testament, that you have to receive the Word of God, but you have to receive it from the standpoint of how God sees things. Okay? We can't try to interpret the Bible all the time based on what our experience has been up till now. We have to think the thoughts of God. Well, if we don't understand what a covenant is, if we don't understand how God is committed, He's the faithful God that keeps covenants and mercy to 1,000 generations. If we don't understand what a covenant relationship is, honestly, we won't be able to obey God. Because a lot of times, certain things are said and we argue and we drag our feet. But Abraham understood some things. Now, this is under an old covenant. In a second, I'm going to shift you to another gear. We're going to jump over to the new covenant, and I'm going to show you how God expects you to respond to His voice. Are you interested in that? All right. So here's here's God over here. Said, Abraham, I want you to offer up your son. And Abraham says, okay. Now, what I'm about to tell you, you have to get this. Are you ready? If you don't get anything else, you have to get this. When God is saying something, especially when He's asking for something, everyone say ask. When God asks for something, now listen, are you ready? In the asking, He's also preaching something. Now you have to get this. Right now you might not understand it, but let me show it this way. All right, if two people are in a covenant relationship, all right, And especially with God. Everything that belongs to God belongs to His covenant man. Is that true? All right. Now, in a lot of our teaching, we emphasize what God has done for us and will do for us. But there's a whole other side of this thing where He has a right at any time to ask us for something. If God redeemed us, He redeemed us spirit, soul, body, wallet. Purse. Isn't that funny? It's interesting. But in the asking, God's also preaching something. See, Abraham had a right to ask God for stuff because whatever belonged to God belonged to Abraham and vice versa. Really, really important that you get this. Because in the asking, let's just say it could be two countries, it could be two tribes. If this tribe is attacked automatically because of a covenant, the tribe that's in a covenant with them has to come and help fight their battle. Interesting, isn't it? But remember I said this morning is that you would never ask something unnecessary from your covenant partner. You'd never try to take advantage of the covenant in a wrong way. We could learn this in our marriages. I'll tell you, it'd be heaven on earth. All right? And so when God says, I want your son, what is God preaching? What He said in the asking, when God asked for Abraham's son, what is He saying? He said, Abraham, this is basically what He's saying, then Abraham has the right to ask God for his son. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. How many would believe it if Jesus said that? Anybody be interested if Jesus said that? I'll show it to you in a minute. All right? But see, Pastor Jan, would you just stand up here? Let's say he and I are in a covenant relationship somehow, some way, in some situation. And let's just say that I have a need of something. And I turned to him and I said, my car broke down. I need your help. Well, what's he going to do? He's bound by covenant to help. He's either going to drive me or he's going to toss me the keys. But in asking, what am I also preaching? That he has the right if he has any need. Okay? Now, if you hear this, thank you, sir. Obedience to God becomes a whole different type of thing. Hallelujah. Because you have to understand what God is saying when He's asking. All right? Now, let me get... I don't want to get so far ahead of myself that... All right? Under this new covenant, Jesus said this. He said that this Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Did you know that? He'll show you things to come. This is under the new covenant. He'll show you things to come. Would you believe that Abraham had an understanding that someday God would send forth his son? Oh, it's true. If you go over into Hebrews, you see that Abraham received his own son, you know, back to life as in a figure. All right? In the same passage, interesting enough, it's talking about Moses. Moses, rather than choose the riches of the world, and I'm paraphrasing, he thought that the riches of the riches of Christ, is that how it said? I forget what it is. Here, let me quick get that. I hate to give you half a verse and have it be wrong. I'll just show you that some of these people under the old covenant. Let's see. This is Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is speaking about Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. How on earth could he see ahead of time and understand God's Son. Because God showed His covenant people things to come. That's why you and I ought to be the ones that just have perfect peace in these days. Even though things are going crazy in the world, there's a peace on the inside because we know how it's going to work out. People go around, oh no, what's going on? What's going on? He would call the ministry down. What's Brother Hagin saying about the year 2000? What's Brother Hagin? He's saying nothing. Yeah, but when you turn that corner, he's got to be... He didn't say anything. Because that year 2000 didn't change God. People got mad at us on the phone. No, he's... As far as I know, he's not talking about... Well, he's got to be. He's the prophet of God. Yeah, but we got God's Word here. You see, the devil hasn't thought up anything recently that the blood of Jesus didn't touch. Are you ready now? Jesus said in John 8. He said this. Are you ready? Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad.
Amen.
God, you want me to... And I'm adding, you want me to offer him up my son? Fine. No problem. We're on our way. In the asking, he was preaching. If you read that whole portion of Scripture, you'll see in a deeper measure, God wasn't trying to get him to kill his son. He wanted him to act out his faith in the area of obedience. So that would make a demand for Jesus to come. See, covenant people look at things different. Are you ready to think differently right now? You see, when God asks you to do something under this new covenant, He's preaching something to you. Gee, what could I pick on? Okay, here's God speaking. David, wake up! I want you to go and I want you to witness to so-and-so tomorrow. Sir, yes, sir. Be glad to obey. But as I'm going, I just want to let you know, I'll do this, but I know that you're sending people to every one of my loved ones. My whole family's saved. I was the first one born again in my family. My wife was the first one born. Folks, this works. Yeah, but you don't know my relatives. I'll match you relatives any day. I don't care who you got. You want to start telling stories? I'll tell you what. I've got some impossible situations. How about somebody locked away in the state mental hospital for 55 years? Demon possessed. We went in there, took authority over the devil. She received Jesus. They released her in a month. Are you listening to what I mean, we've seen this for years. Is that when God says jump, you're going. You want to know why? Because in the asking, He's preaching. Now, are you ready to shout? Because I'm going to say the word tithe, which usually causes just total silence. Somebody asked me, what do you think, what is it, the half hour in heaven where it's quiet?
Yeah.
And I told one of the students, I said, well, what do you think about it? I said, well, evidently somebody said the word tithe. All right, under this new covenant, and you can find it in the New Testament. If you just look up where it says that Jesus is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, go study that one out. Melchizedek was not Jesus, but he was one of two individuals that were living at the same time, Abraham and Melchizedek. There was a priesthood where Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. That was before the law. Jesus is a high priest after the same order. So Jesus and Melchizedek set up, and that same tithing part is still in place. Why? God doesn't need my 10%. God doesn't, I mean, you got a lot of money. But listen, Dave Beebe, I want you to tithe. 10%? Sure. Oh, by the way, this means I have every right to ask you for 10% of what belongs to you. But see, under this new covenant, when we talk about redemption, when we're talking about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed means to be purchased. God purchased us, spirit, soul, body, wallet, whatever, dog, cat, whatever you got belongs to Him, 100%. He's only asking for 10%. I mean, if God would just rip up His driveway up there, I mean, just think of the gold involved. I'll take 10% of His driveway. All right? But when He's saying tithe, all He's wanting you to do is respond in obedience, say, "Sir, yes, sir, and I thank You. You've met every need I have."
Amen.
And if it costs 10% of whatever you got, You'll make it available to me. But actually, under this new covenant, we have 100% of what God has. God really has the right to ask for 100%. So that puts tithing over into an area of something else. It makes it over, if I had time, I'd go into it. It puts it in the area of confession. Deuteronomy chapter 26, when they brought the first fruits, they made a confession. What did they say? Our father was a Syrian. They're not talking about Abraham. They're not talking about Isaac. They're talking about Jacob being a Syrian. And that was a confession they made over their tithe. So what is it today? It's a confession. When we put that check in that offering, tithe goes to your local church, by the way. Not some television ministry. Do whatever you want there, I guess. But I mean, when it tithes, it's home. Got that? Home. And when that check goes to you, you're just saying, here's my confession. You've met every single need 2,000 years ago. And here's my statement of faith. Boom, there it is. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about my needs being met, because if I'm being obedient to what His Word says, I'm not going to worry. I just do stuff in the natural, and He's bound by covenant to do everything in the supernatural to bring it about. Are you catching this yet? I tell the students, you see, some of our students, you remember when I asked you, did God tell you to go to Rhema? Do you remember that? I said, did God tell you to go to Rhema? Dave, go to Rhema. Yes, sir. But that means if you're telling me to go someplace, that means you're paying all the bills. I'll put my hand to do something, but you're going to bless it and multiply it.
Amen.
But if you tell me to go any place, if you tell me to go on the mission field, I will obey you. But under this covenant, I have every right to expect you're going to meet every need. The anointing of God will be on my life. You'll confirm the Word with signs following. You will establish the ministry. I'm not going to worry about it. You just tell me where to go. And now if you look at the New Testament, you will see that. When God's talking to you, He's expecting you to talk back.
That's right.
You believe it yet? How many love the 91st Psalm? Wouldn't it be just nice? Just nice. I mentioned this morning. Wouldn't it be just nice to just always? Sounds like heaven, but we got heaven on earth. But wouldn't it always be nice just to always dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Wouldn't it be always nice just to abide under that shadow of the Almighty? Can I show you how to do that? Can I show you how to do that? I know they teach it to you here. But remember, in a covenant, blessings are spoken. Boom. You say things. You say things back. That's what the communion table is all about. God has spoken His Word. In communion, we speak something back, that we're under a blood covenant. That's what the word communion means, an exchange. Okay? But see, when God has said something in His Word, all He's asking us to do is to agree with what He's saying. Are you listening to me? He just wants us to agree. Now, I could take you, and maybe I will here for a second, over here. You got to see this. What did he say? You said 12 o'clock tonight? Then afterwards, just drop me off at the airport, all right? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 8. You want to see something that is so neat? I mean, we picture Jesus, you know, having overcome all. You know, Easter's coming. Easter is one of my favorite times. Just simply because when we look at Easter, we think of the cross. But really, Christianity is not a message of the cross. It's a message of the resurrection. It's the empty tomb stuff. Okay? And the Bible tells us that He was raised from the dead. We were raised with Him. That's how God sees us. All right? But we think that Jesus is just sat down at the right hand of the Father, and that's all He's done. He's just, you know, pull up the footstool. Let's just, you know, church, just go do what you can. No, I'm convinced Jesus is very active on our behalf today. Now watch this. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Are you with me in Hebrews 8:1? Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. I've got the King James. Sum, it says sum. What does sum mean? Usually it means total, but she's reading a translation here that says main point.
Right.
If you look it up, that's what that means there.
Right.
Of the things which we have spoken, this is the main point.
Yeah.
Now who wrote this epistle? Anybody want to guess?
Paul.
How many say Paul did? I kind of lean towards Paul. Or at least somebody in his group was writing. Okay? I joke about this. I mean, it's not signed. What if we get to heaven and find out it was a woman that wrote it? Well, don't get too shook up about it. I mean, why do they call Paul's epistles the Pauline epistles? That has confused me for years. So what if Pauline or Paulette wrote this?
Paula.
All right. But see, really, wasn't it the Holy Spirit writing this through somebody? So it really doesn't make difference what the human vessel was, but it's the Holy Spirit. So now listen to this. So this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to Dave Beebe in Hebrews 8. He said, Dave, of the things which I have spoken to you up till now, 8 chapters, this is the main point I want you to get. Anybody got an idea what it is? Let's read it. We have such a high priest. Well, I can tell you're excited about it. Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now listen. If you understand what his high priestly ministry consists of, and you understand how God is looking at things in your life, this thing will turn around for you. Are you ready for this? I haven't forgotten Psalm 91. I'm going there. All right? But if you go back to chapter 3 here of Hebrews, it says, speaking of Jesus, that He's the apostle and high priest of our what?
Confession.
Of our what?
Confession.
Have you ever heard a message on confession? Has it ever confused you? But see, that's how you release the power of the covenant in your life.
Right. Amen.
That's how you got born again. Now, over what's his name? W. E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. When you look at the word, the Greek word there that's used for confession, homologeo, it means to speak the same thing as. It's something like that.
Yeah.
But in his where he makes some commentary there, he's got, I think, 4, maybe 5 things that he lists there where the same word is used in different places in the New Testament, and it gives us little shades of meaning what this confession is all about. This is the high priest of what we say.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here, I'll just give you an example. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He was raised from the dead for my justification. He's my Lord forever. No, I'm not listening to you. Did you hear that? It's going to take some faith. But Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I literally believe that when I just said that, Jesus turned to the Father and said, Dave Beebe just confessed me. Do you believe that? Do you think Jesus is confused about this stuff? Thank you very much. Do you think... You're not supposed to do this in front of a crowd. Do you think Jesus is confused about... Do you think Jesus knows anything about faith? Do you think He's just... Jesus had some bad days and He just... No. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart. Is that right? Have I got this right? But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. You know what that says? We have to believe that our words come to pass.
That's right.
Well, Brother B, I don't believe that. Yes, you do. You just proved it. You don't believe it, therefore you don't do it. Oh, that faith stuff. I don't know about that faith stuff. It's kind of weird. I'm not going to talk to something. I'm not going to talk to a mountain. When my son was, he was under 4 years old, up in Michigan. I know you were concerned about the snowfall, but I remember waking up to 15-foot drifts. Yeah. I walked outside our house, had to walk up. Oh, by the way, there's four steps going down. We walked up, this was overnight, walked out, walked around the garage. I got my hand on the roof of the garage. I'm walking like this, and I'm looking for my car. And my car was under my feet. It's under my feet. Well, never mind. Anyway, so it gets cold up there. I imagine it gets cold here a little bit. But you know, you ever get out there in the morning in the winter and you turn the keys and it goes, I did that one morning and my son, because he was in a car seat in the back, so I know he was four or under, and I'm turning the and every time I turn the key and it wasn't starting, and I went like this, I turned the key and all of a sudden a little voice comes out of the back, like, come on baby, 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 come on baby, baby, baby. And I stopped and I looked at him. He's back there, a big smile on his face. I turned the key again and watched him. He's going back. Come on, baby, baby, baby. And that's when it dawned on me. I talked to my car. Well, let's take a step further. How many of you, I hope you don't, I don't know if you have a weatherman here from any of the stations, but I'll tell you what. People plan their whole lives around some guy that's actually guessing at what the weather's going to do. Hey, the weatherman said, how many times have you shoveled partly cloudy off your front step? I'm not going to say anything weird. You say it all the time. Here's the three shades of meaning. Are you ready? To confess means to agree with. If we confess our sins, for instance, if you sinned and you did something wrong, you go to the Father and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I sinned. It was my sin. Don't go there. Don't play this game. I wouldn't have done it if my wife hadn't said that. Now, it says if you confess your sin, not hers. Oh, by the way, it says if you confess your sin, He is faithful. Faithful. Faithful and just to forgive your sin and to what? Let's start studying that cleansing thing a little bit. Because that's where the power should be. You see, if people would confess certain habits as sins, they'd probably get set free. Yeah. Not in this church. I'm talking about the church across town.
Right.
I just want to be in agreement here, all right? He's the high priest of what we say. We need to agree with God. The number another meaning means to speak from a deep assurance of fact. Well, that's what happened when you get born again. You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. Greatest miracle. Boom. Hallelujah. He's the high priest of what? Of our confession. Or actually, he's the high priest of what we say. The third meaning means to celebrate. Isn't that interesting? Okay? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. It says giving thanks in the King James, but it's actually the word confessing to His name. So even our praise and worship needs to be word-based. So our response, when we find out what God said, then we just... He's the high priest of what we said. Okay, you said by His stripes I was healed? Well, I don't understand that, but hey, if you say it, I was and I is. Here's my big question. If He's the high priest of what we say, what on earth have we been saying? That's how you release your faith. That's how you get the power of this covenant going. Now, I'll have to skip over some things, but go with me to Psalm 91. Let me just show you a couple things here. And I won't keep you late, but is this helping you yet?
Amen.
91st Psalm. That's usually creased in a person's... Amongst us charismatic word people, our Bible usually falls open to Psalm 91. Now remember, I was just putting forth this ideal. Wouldn't it just be wonderful if our faith worked all the time? Wouldn't it be wonderful that we could go to sleep at night knowing? You go to sleep and you go, well, you know, my wallet's empty, but I just know the angels are bringing. You say, how can you know that? Because your faith's working. You just have a great confidence. You just know. He said, but are you ever worried? Oh, yeah, I've been worried and I've said things. I've groaned. Actually, I did better than the Egyptians. Sighed, cried, groaned. I added whining. Pitching a fit. You want to add to the list? Acted like an abused child. Temper tantrum would be good. But you know, a lot of Christians act like they're abused children. Like God hasn't done anything for you. Oh, not you. I mean that other church. But you ready? Let's just read this 91st Psalm. I want to show you something. This is under an older covenant. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will... I will... If it was true under the old covenant, it's true today.
Amen.
You got to say it. I said you got to say it. We've heard confession over all these years. I will say of the Lord. And you know this. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely. Most common name in the Bible. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. If truth shall be thy shield and buckler, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now verse 14 is interesting. I'm just going to stop here for a second. Study this out. It appears that another person is speaking. It goes to another person. All right? What I believe this is, under an old covenant, I believe it was a covenant person standing up and saying, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and Him shall I trust. Under that old covenant. And he was making a stand of how God would protect him and then God responds. You see, when you and God get into agreement, there's power. God's bound by covenant. Whatever it takes to get you through, over, whatever, He's bound by covenant. He's bound by covenant. All the power that He has, if necessary, He'll put it at your disposal. Now, could I suggest something? Don't wait until too late to start releasing your faith. Okay, how many people in here think that you could beat me in a 100-yard dash? Come on, put your hand up. Where's the young people? You better get your hands up. But you might be surprised. Of all the people you meet, you'll never meet anybody who can hit their top end speed as quick as I can. My speed was so deceptive, and still is. I have what they call deceptive speed. How many have seen people that are just so fast that, you know, people, like in football, people, they miss them because they, you know, they're just way faster and they miss them, they tackle behind. I'm the same way. I move slower than what I appear, and they miss in front of me. How many? 100-yard dash, you can beat me. 100-yard dash. You sure? Oh, I didn't tell you the rules. I get a 90-yard head start. You still think you could, huh? Uh-oh, now the rules change, doesn't it, a little bit? A lot of people want to plug into their faith when whatever they're trying to beat has got a 90-yard head start. They want to flip the switch on when they're in trouble. Faith is not a parachute out of your problem. It's a lifestyle.
Amen. Yeah.
That's why you build a foundation for a home, or you put that basement in, however you're doing it. You do it in good weather. You don't wait until a hurricane, a tornado, whatever could happen. Gee, here's a tornado. Let's go lay that cement.
Yeah.
God doesn't bless laziness. But here's God speaking. After somebody says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That's underlined in my Bible. I will deliver him and honor him with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is an example of covenant talk. It's an example of covenant talk. Now, if Jesus is a high priest of what we say, can I ask you a question? What do you even say? Well, Brother Beebe, I'm not saying anything. And then that's what you believe. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 8. How am I doing on time, all right? If? I'll do my best. I'm going to read verse 1 now. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum of the point. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesties in the heaven. Are you with me now? Hebrews 8. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Because actually, if I went down to verse 6, it would say that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. So when you look at the context of this portion of Scripture, it takes on a greater importance knowing how to enact this better covenant in our life. It's right here. Right here? Okay. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Verse 3. Are you ready? For every high priest ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Now let me stop here. He's talking about generally as he's teaching. Whoever's teaching here is saying they're paralleling the old covenant and the new. All right. And the benefits thereof. But here he makes a general statement of the high priests. All these high priests were ordained to go in and offer sacrifices. All right? But now suddenly, in the middle of verse 3, he goes back and joins up with verse 1. Wherefore, it is of what? Necessity that this man... What? Who's this man? Jesus, the high priest of what we say. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, one thing we do know historically, that when this was written, Jesus had already died on the cross. He was already raised from the dead. He already said, "Don't touch me." And then later on, he said, "Touch me, handle me." He says, "Because the Spirit hath not what? Flesh and bone." He didn't say flesh and blood, how it's usually said. Because Jesus had taken His, and it's here in Hebrews, the next chapter tells about it, how He took His blood in one time for all. So, by the time the Spirit of God directed whoever to say this, the blood had already been shed to redeem us. Is that right? But then how come our high priest needs somewhat also to offer? What's missing? I said, what's missing? Over in Revelation it says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony." Abraham had a great, just a tremendous covenant, power, wealth, all kinds of blessings. And we got it better. Because because we're going to minister to the sick tonight. Now listen. Do you ever think of it this way? God wants you healed. Because if you're not healed, you can't minister to other people. We think of healing as selfish. It's not. We think of prosperity as selfish. It's not. It's not usually selfishness. Some people are with it. But the thing is that God wants all your needs met. He wants you healthy in your body. Why? So you can go tell other people about Jesus. And potentially, I'm looking at this group, do you realize how many people that you will affect positively in your lifetime? It is estimated, and I don't know how they come up with this, it's estimated that the most introverted person in this earth will affect 10,000 people in their lifetime. Just the most introverted. Well, what about some of us? Some sort of doctrine you got. Okay, I don't need to know about it. Yeah. Okay, good. As long as you got... Well, never mind. What's usually missing in people's lives is they're not releasing their faith. If we really believed... I said, if we really believed that by His stripes we were healed, how would we act? How would you act? I mean, can you just start to picture yourself as being totally well? Can you see yourself totally out of debt? How many would do a moonwalk or something? Oh, don't let that bother you. You go to a football game, basketball game, act like an idiot. That's true. Now, how would you act? How would you act? You know, when Pastor Jan was mentioning at the beginning of the service how much he appreciates Rhema for what it did for him, and then I know it did for me. You see, the message that I'm sharing with people, I've got two children. All right? Now, in May, my wife and I celebrate our 30th anniversary. I was 12 when we got married. I was at least 12. But it's what I learned at Rhema. And it's not just Brother Hagin's teaching or Pastor Hagin's teaching there that did it. It's the word that they teach that put me over. All right? They kept putting us back in the word. But my wife and I tried to have kids for years. And I got married before my brother did. I got married before my sister did. And a few years roll by, and they've got four kids each. I'm the one in the ministry. I'm the one that went to Rhema. I'm the one that's given my life for the ministry, been in I don't know how many countries. And but see, it's not based on works, it's based on faith. But it was that faith teaching at Rhema that after a number of years, you know, we eventually, my wife went and got checked. I got checked, the whole thing. And they said, you know, at first they said there was no reason. But actually, the Catholic doctor that had examined my wife, he had wrote down some things that he found. He didn't tell anybody. But you know what he said? He said, Mrs. Beebe, you will have children. But what he was writing down was that there's two reasons why my wife could never get pregnant. He just didn't choose to tell us. It would take a miracle on either one for her to get pregnant. People come up and prophesy to us. They say, well, you know, it's just probably not the will of God that you have kids. I finally told somebody. I said, you've come too late. I read my Bible. And the Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. I already read it. That's under Old Covenant. We've got it under the New Covenant. And we just, over all the years, my mother was, and she's making baby clothes. I said, well, who are you making them for? Who's pregnant? She says, oh, you're going to have kids. When you get the unsaved people saying things, then you got these super spiritual, hyper spiritual, so-called charismatics that will find every possible reason why you can't receive from God. Well, if you have kids, then you can't obey God. That's weird, isn't it? I had people coming up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Thou shalt not have, you know, that whole thing. And you kind of go, get away from me. I've got the promise of God. As a matter of fact, I've been rejoicing for years. I just saw myself with kids. Hallelujah. Well, I've got two of them. The old-fashioned way. Faith. We had people calling us Abraham. So when we were married 13 years, I'm holding this baby boy. And that's when we found out the first doctor had died, and then the second doctor got it. They said, well, you know why you had it. We said, no, we have no idea. He said, well, you got your baby. Many years later, we go to Rhema to be on staff. Something about that broken arrow water. I mean, yeah, you get down there, and you know, we're just, hey, we got our son. Thank God we got our son, and hallelujah, we got a son. And all of a sudden, my wife says, I think I'm pregnant. And I'm going, what? See, at that time, I'm 43 years old. And I'm thinking, 43, I'm adding up. When she graduates from high school, I'll be 60. And I'll still act like I'm 20. Hallelujah. So now I've got a seven and a half year old. A little blessing of the Lord. And it's because of what we learned about faith. Now can I ask you something? What are your dreams and your desires? You got to dig in the Scriptures. Pastor Jan was talking about that earlier. You got to find the promise. But once you find the promise, immediately begin to agree with what God's Word says on it. And release your faith. Say, I may not understand it, but if you said, I was healed, therefore I am healed. In other words, it's not as much trying to get healed as much as it is receiving what has already been given to you. So all God asks you to do is agree with Him. Are you catching this yet? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up. I'm about ready right now. Hallelujah.